Please pray with me. Lord God Almighty, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, may the words of my mouth, may the meditation, the thoughts of every heart in this place be ordained of you, Savior King Jesus. Come among us now by your Spirit, in your word. Teach us, renew us, enlighten us, and in your gospel good news, the crazy, wonderful gospel good news, Lord Jesus, continue to set us free. It's in your name we ask these things. Please say, amen. Amen. Savior King Jesus loves to light things up. He loves to light people up. That's what he does. That's his nature. That's his being. The darkness of my heart, the darkness, confusion of my mind, your confusions, the world's confusions. What does he love to do? He loves to crash into that darkness with light. Can somebody say light? Light. That's who the Lord is. That's who the Savior is. That's who the King of Kings, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is light and darkness, as he said himself many, many times. He loves to shine light of forgiveness, light of understanding, light of reconciliation, shining in us and in our relationships with those around us. He loves to shine light in the darkest places, the testimony today, the places where we are weak, the places where we don't have the answers, the places where we had nothing together, which, by the way, is all the time, as the Spirit teaches us. The Lord loves, in our very honest condition, as he crashes that into us, a knowledge of our honest condition, struggling, challenged, wondering, needing, in all those circumstances, who is Savior King Jesus? He's the light that comes crashing into our darkness day after day, moment after moment. That's who he is. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. This friend of mine over here, Pastor Mark, I've never told the story quite like this. I think he knows a little bit of this, but he's never heard me say it quite as emphatically. But I really wouldn't be standing here, this is my 16th year in the pastoral ministry, if not for some light that the Lord was crashing into this bozo, that through him, and by bozo I mean all of us, struggling sinners, all of us, the Lord's got a hold of and is doing wonderful things, but Mark having light shined in him, that in turn, the Lord used that light to shine some light in me in a very timely way. Have you ever gone into anything with a bad attitude? I'm trying to look and see who's lying out there, because we all have. Maybe that grocery store trip you don't want to make. Maybe that job you don't like to show up to. Maybe that school paper, that school day, or maybe that relative function around the holidays is just not the easiest environment. I can one up you all. I can pull a St. Paul on you, chief of sinners. Because I went to seminary back in 1996 with a horrible attitude. And my wife is here and she can attest to it. And I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but I was studying in college to be a teacher and a coach. Some pastors started mentoring me. I began to feel a call to ministry. I get pretty carried away with stuff like that, with new ideas. And I said, you know what? Yeah, let's do this seminary thing. Some people were encouraging me. Some people started funding and saving money and doing scholarships. And so here at the tail end of college, I'm thinking, hey, we're going to do this seminary thing. God is calling us to this. My wife was on board. She was excited. At first, she's like, I just don't know. You know, she grew up, her father was a pastor, and she's like, we're going to do this thing? I mean, she loved it, but she was wondering, and finally I talked her into it. And then we go away to student teach, and I loved it. And I loved the teaching, and I loved the coaching. And I came back, and I told Heather, and I started telling others, you know what? The seminary thing is off. Not going to do it. And Heather goes, oh, whoa, hold on. You told a lot of people you're going to give this a try. A lot of people been praying. A lot of people been celebrating for you. A lot of people been donating for you. You need to give this a try. And I remember looking at her, looking at the others in my life and going, you know what? Okay, I'll go to seminary. I'll do it. But they're 10-week quarters, and after 10 weeks, you'll see I don't want to do it.
You'll see I'm not supposed to do it, and we'll come right back to Texas. 10 weeks in Missouri, we'll pack up, we'll go back to town. That's what we're going to do. Let's go to seminary. Let's go to seminary.
What an attitude, huh? Simul ustis et peccator. You ever heard that? Same time, saint and sinner. That's the sinner side, no doubt. The old adage, I'll do it my way. Well, the life that I'm talking about is, this guy gives me a phone call out of the blue. I barely know him. We had just met. And he says, hey, there's something going on in inner city St. Louis. There's an old retired pastor. He's got a grant. He's renovated a gym, a building where you can play basketball. I was a basketball player, had been many years. I was coaching basketball. He's like, they're wondering if you want to come be a part of this to do a basketball camp for these inner city kids. Got a lot of issues going on. Come to a basketball camp, and then we'll do some Bible studies alongside of it. And he knows this is meaningful to me. We engaged in that Bible study basketball camp for the 3 years, all except the year we're on Vicarage. But he doesn't know quite the story that I do not believe there's any way I would have remained at seminary without being invited into that miraculous experience. You see, seminary to me, when I went there with a bad attitude, was a bunch of fancy words. Bunch of jumping through hoops of high and holy church stuff. And that was my preconceived notion, that we're learning a whole lot of stuff that just way up here, and does it matter? Let's just go teach. Let's just go coach. Let's do some real stuff. But then I got involved with those young men at that camp, and they had lots of questions about God. And this is fascinating. They knew law so well. Think like all of us. They knew there are a lot of rules and a lot of things that should be going on proper in their lives and in their neighborhoods. Their YMCA mentors were telling them. Their teachers were telling them. If they had any adult influence, usually single moms were their influence, they had some rules for them. It was like law everywhere. And at seminary, we happened to be studying the proper distinction between law and gospel, C.F.W. Walter. And one of the first things it teaches you is people who are consumed by the law in their daily life don't need the law. They need the one thing that nothing on the earth can give them. They can't find themselves. It can only come through the word and the sacrament that Christ is working through his church, and that is the gospel, the good news of a Savior. The good news of one who doesn't say, come earn anything, but I love you and I gift you freely with everything. The things you need more than anything else. Forgiveness. Hope. Joy eternal. Life everlasting. The Savior says, that's not stuff you go get. That's not stuff you earn. It's not stuff you could earn. It's stuff I, Jesus, do for you freely because I love you and I light you up and I set you free. And so learning that stuff at the seminary and pouring it into those young men, I'm like, this is ministry. It's almost too good to be true. It's basketball that I love. A simple thing like basketball. And the Lord is lighting it up with his word coming around it, with then baptisms of some of the young men, with Lord's Supper training, with prayer visits to parents in the hospital and conversions on their deathbed. I'm like, this is incredible that the Lord lights up situations like basketball stuff in the inner city. And I walked away with something I've never forgotten. It was burnt on my heart by the Holy Spirit that's who Jesus is. Crashing light into my darkness, my bad attitude, forgiving it by paying for it on the cross, and crashing light of him in his gospel, in his good news, and the light crashing into us, then crashing into others. Isn't that the equation? The Lord who shines light into people says, I shine light in you, but then I shine light through you. And look at who the action is. I, the Lord Jesus, shine light in you. And then I, the Lord, King of Kings, Jesus, shine light through you. It's what he does. It's what he's up to. And I got captivated by it many years ago to go, a bonehead like me, with a bad attitude like me, seeing the light of the gospel shine into this neighborhood and these kids. Lord, you are amazing. And you are mighty. And you are up to great stuff. And I'm not worthy of any of it. Well, I sure love that you graft me into it and I get to see what you do, the miracles of faith that you do. I want to read a text for you to kind of bring that to conclusion. Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16. And it's a pretty common text in the church, and if you've been around the church for any amount of time, you probably heard it. But I bet today we might hear it with a little bit new ears or see it with new eyes. It reads like this. Jesus speaking to a mass of people. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Of course not. They don't put it under a bowl. They light a lamp and they put it on a stand so that it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, before human beings, that they see this good stuff, this love, this care, this forgiveness, and they praise your Father in heaven. Here's a trick of Satan. He's pulling it on me right now. He pulls it on me every time I'm in the Word of God. This is the trick he loves. When I hear this, you're the light of the world. You're sitting on a hill. You're a lamp that doesn't belong under a bowl. You know the way I first hear this? Do this, Patrick. Do that, Patrick. Be more of a city on a hill. Be more of a lamp that's not hiding under a bowl. Go have your light shine, Patrick. I hear it as law. And I know Dr. Hainer would tell us there's law there. There's law here. These are beautiful things to shine and love and care. There is law here. But the main point of this text is not law. If you back up just a little bit in Matthew 5, you ever heard of the Beatitudes? The Beatitudes are, hey, you see the meek? I am the Lord who addresses and cares and loves and uses the meek. Do you see the poor in spirit? I, Lord Jesus, am the one who addresses and loves and cares and uses the poor in spirit. Do you see the persecuted? I'm the Lord who's right with them in their persecution, and I love and I care and I forgive and I shine through their persecution. You see the confused? Do you see the wandering? That's really the motion of the Beatitudes. It's Jesus saying, look what I light up. And he lists basically every situation we might find ourselves in. So that's the part right before the text I read you. So then we come to that next part, and Jesus says what? Just put it in that context. You're light. You're light of the world. And a city on a hill will not be hidden. And a lamp is not going to be put under a bowl. And you know what this is? It's a lot less command, and it's a lot more promise. I can look to you today and say the same promise. The Lord shines light in your life. And he says, I'm going to treat you like a city on a hill. You're going to shine out there. Right now, shining right here. We kind of built on a hill a little bit. We came from the lower parking lot. And the Lord's like, you're not here doing it. I, loving you, caring, knowing you're all bonehead struggling with sin like the bonehead pastors up here. I'm the Lord and buying that back and redeeming that. And I'm shining light and it'll be a city on a hill. And I'm crashing into you, making you a lamp lit up, and I'm not going to put you under a bowl. You see the beautiful promises? It's just the Lord saying what? I'm a God of light. I'm a God of love. I shine light, and it will not be extinguished by sin, death, the devil, or the gates of hell. Can you say amen to that? I'll do something kind of cool and kind of creepy. We're going to have some light explode in here. You ready? Because how does light explode? It's when the truth of Jesus Christ and his law and gospel are proclaimed, it's an explosion of light. However much you think you're wrestling with sin, however much you think I'm wrestling with sin, it's a million times worse. A zillion times worse. See, because the Lord says, here's my only command. Be perfect as I, your God, am perfect. And then he couples with that. And you know what perfect is? It's love all the time in all of its forms. I, God, am love. Be perfect love. That's my command. And not just perfect deeds. And not just perfect by the things you avoid that can hurt you and hurt others and hurt the world. But perfect that your motives are pure. That anything kind you're doing because you really want to do kind, not because you've been told to do kind. Not because you think the Lord says to do kind. But just like the Lord, he just does kind and love because that's who he is. And then we see that's his law. And then I reflect on myself, well, the do's and the don'ts and pure motives and no selfishness to it ever. And I have to come to what conclusion? By the Holy Spirit, I go, I'm way worse of a sinner than I think I am. What did Apostle Paul say at the end of his ministry? Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Can you finish that? Of whom I am the worst. Right now, in this honest, talk about our sin being a zillion times worse than any of us want to think or want to pretend? What is that? That's an explosion of light. How is that an explosion of light? It's truth. It's just the Lord going, hey, let's start with the basics of what the truth of my fallen humanity, fallen since the garden and the fall into sin. Let's just talk about how it really is now. It's caught up in sin. It's a lot worse than you think it is. And then you want a bigger explosion, or maybe not bigger, but an equal explosion? The explosion of vicarious satisfaction. I love throwing around big terms. It makes you sound, I'm not smart, but it makes you sound smart. It's kind of a cool trick. Vicarious satisfaction that every single sin of imperfect love of all time, Jesus took it on himself as a full human, as full God, and he paid for it all. He didn't act like it never happened. He didn't act like God doesn't care about do's and don'ts. He just said, I'll go and pay for all the sins of all time. Vicarious satisfaction. It was satisfied. God's wrath and punishment satisfied through Christ on the cross and proved in his resurrection 3 days later. When I preach that to you, like I'm going to say it right to you now. That sin is way worse than you think it is. And my sin, way worse than I think it is, has a Savior way greater than it could ever be, who has paid for it exponentially more than you could ever out-sin him. That's vicarious satisfaction. And then one more explosion of light, imputed righteousness. This is one we love as Lutherans, we just don't talk about as much. And I don't know why. It's been blowing me up the last few years. Imputed righteousness is when God commanded all these forms of light and love, be this, be this, don't do that, don't do this, love these people, you know, love your enemies. When he commanded that, guess who fulfilled all those commands? Jesus. He came and was perfect light, was perfect love. He did all the commands perfectly. The do's, the don'ts, even the motives and the purity of why he was doing it. He did it perfectly. And what does Jesus do with that righteousness? He fulfills the law by being perfect according to the law. And what does he do with his fulfillment of it? He says, here you go. I'll baptize it into you. Whoa! His righteousness is now covering me. You know, I'm a hunter. Most Texans are hunters. He's like, let me camouflage you in my righteousness. That when the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit see you, they see everything Jesus ever did. All the fulfillment of all the commandments, they see all over you, baptized into you, words spoken and preached into you, Lord's Supper into us to remind us and renew us and forgive us and strengthen us in pure righteousness. Jesus has done it all. And when we hear that, that crazy, crazy truth, it's an explosion of light. Can I hear an amen to that? Amen. You see, Jesus is up to great light all the time. And he launches it into us. He celebrates it into us. He renews it into us. And as it's in us, he also flows it through us. That's what the King does. I was invited here, really to talk about none of that. Probably Jesus. I'm sure you're expecting me to talk about Jesus. I was invited here to talk about water wells in Uganda. And this is how I'm going to wrap up. I got invited 5 or 6 years ago, just a regular Texas guy. Someone said, some explosions of light are taking place in Uganda. Some Lutheran Christianity is taking root in some places for the first time ever. Lands hearing some of the stuff that we're talking about and celebrating and receiving today. Vicarious satisfaction, imputed righteousness, Jesus. We're sinners. He makes us saints. All that awesome good news. It's exploding in parts of Uganda. Do you want to come see that? I'm terrified of that kind of travel. I'm naive, and I thought lions and cobras were walking around everywhere in Uganda, so I didn't want to get eaten like anybody else would want to get eaten, but that's so false. It's not the way it works, but I thought it was. But I got invited, and I ended up going over. We ended up, you fly into the capital around Kampala. You go to Jinja, which Roosevelt called the Pearl of Africa, the city Jinja right there on the Lake Victoria. And it was this explosion of raw gospel, Jesus-centered Christianity. It was incredible, taking place in these Lutheran churches. And here's what happened, long story short. We met a young pastor. Neat guy, had a neat charisma to him. We kind of had this natural friendship immediately with him. And he said to us, he's like, hey, see all these people around here, all these Westerners around this area of Jinja? Everyone loves to come to Jinja. But no one comes to where I live, his hometown, because he lives 8 hours out in the west, way out in the bush, where it takes a whole other day and a half to get to after you've already flown 16 hours, taking a two-day journey. It's a whole other day and a half. He's like, I just invite you to come see what the Lord Jesus is up to, shining light in Western Uganda. We ended up about 6 months later. We came back. We took him up on his offer. We meet him in his home, Basindi Town in Western Uganda. And he takes us out to places that look like National Geographic, just out in the wilds of Africa. We actually go into some villages that were the first light-skinned people to walk in those villages. They've seen all of them go to town, walk into town, you know, so they've seen light-skinned people, but not come out to their village. And it was just mind-blowing to see the explosions of light that Jesus was up to through this young pastor and through the evangelist he was training out in these villages, which literally to us look like the ends of the earth. There Jesus is doing word, doing sacrament, growing things. And here's what happened. We saw the water the folks were drinking. And we were able to have prayer times. And they very openly, it's a neat culture where they just tell you the junk they got going on. But most of their prayer requests were eye problems and stomach problems. And it didn't take a genius at all to go, so much of this is water problems. Drinking dirty, not clean, not healthy water. We asked Pastor Raymond about it. He says, yes, some of the towns have enough infrastructure. You know, it's a third world country. Some of the towns have enough to have decent water, but out here, you know, they just drink the water that they can, and it has a lot of illness. So what ends up happening? Just praying with Pastor Raymond, talking to him. We're like, well, water wells? He's like, yeah, it's a possibility. It costs money, you know, and people out here can't afford it, of course. And he's like, you know, what happens when you put a water well in, it becomes a crossroads for the community. I was kind of telling Mark last night. It's almost like putting a Walmart in, you know, where people just kind of all start coming around it. And he's like, what a great crossroads to keep proclaiming the light of light and the good news of Jesus and the truth of the saving, rescuing, light you up God. And that's how this whole thing named Soul First Africa came to be. It's a separate, you know, non-profit charitable organization. And does water wells with these pastors and evangelists coming alongside and doing ministries and outreach in the crossroad that the water well becomes. I can't describe to you, and I don't plan to try, but to see some of the villages that didn't have the water, especially the kids, you know, kids tug at your heartstrings, and to see the flies landing on them and all the stuff maybe you've seen on TV or maybe you've seen in person. And then to see a year later after a water well, the health has just drastically changed and the community's changed. And the receptiveness to the gospel and to the word and to, they build their own churches around these water wells. They just do it themselves, celebrating the Lord and learning about him more. You catch the bug. You go, Lord, here you are again, shining light in the wildest situation, just simple stuff like water and you're shining light. And there you go doing it way out in the middle of nowhere. And you graft us into it. It's just crazy and it's beautiful. And I hope the rest of the time the Lord leaves me on earth, I'm in the privilege of being a part of it. Just, it's awesome to be minister here, but it's awesome to be a part of that too. And I want to end here with a little bit of prophecy. It's the Lord's prophecy. What did he say in Matthew? What did he say in Matthew 5? You are who? The light of the world, because he's made us so. You are who? A city on a hill. You are who? A lamp that's not going over to a bowl. And then just like he spoke the words of creation, let there be light. He finishes that sentence, let your light shine. It's less of telling you what to do and more telling you what he's going to do through you. And I can say to you today, those scriptures are fulfilled in our hearing today. You know why? I hope this blows your mind. It blows my mind. This congregation giving funds they raised, offerings to water wells in Western Uganda. What has happened? The city on the hill here has not been hidden. Even in the far reaches of Uganda, light is exploding in villages you may never see with your own eyes. You may never take in the sights and the sounds and the smells. My wife finally got to do this after 5 years. It was incredible to do that together. You're all embodied. You want to go? Let's talk about it. But you may never see it, but what's happening? The Lord is shining light in you, through you, all the way to the ends of the earth. And just as crazy, I love this wild thought. You know why you're sitting here today? Because in your life, the Lord has shown light through others who then help shine the gospel light into you. Right? We all got stories of those who brought the light around us as the Lord used them. It was the Lord doing it. But used them to bring word and sacrament into our lives. And now, that story continues, not just with your children or with your neighbors or those you're around, the light shining in you and then through you to others, But in this place, it's continuing to the glory of Jesus, by the hand and might of Jesus, to shine to the ends of the earth, all the way in Uganda. So I think today, I'm sorry, don't take this personally, but I think not simply you, or not simply my great friend, your pastor, I think King Jesus, you are the God of light. You know the darkness, you see the darkness of my own sin, of the world, of all of us in a mess, and you're taking care of it. You're forgiving, you're giving the gift of faith, and you're shining light in us here, and in our schools, and in our neighborhoods, and even to the ends of the earth, as we heard about today, through this place to the reaches of Uganda. Jesus, you are crazy, and you do crazy, wonderful, beautiful things. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. All hail the King of Kings, in his name. Please whisper, amen.